Your Show of Shows was one of the earliest TV variety shows. It ran from 1950 to 1954. Yet it set a standard for comedy on television that shows today are still being measured against. It starred Sid Caesar and Imogene Coca. Carl Reiner and Howard Morris were the supporting players. Mel Brooks, Larry Gelbart, Neil Simon, and Woody Allen all wrote for the show. It reached a new audience in the 70s when 10 of the sketches were repackaged for movie theaters. 10 from Your Show of Shows is now on home video. Imogene Coca and Sid Caesar have reunited several times over the years to perform some of their old sketches. Now they're back together for an open-ended engagement at Michael's Pub in New York that begins in mid-April.
Well, darling, I didn't tell you, but I took the car over to Bill's garage for some minor repairs.
It's funny, I just took it in for a 1,000-mile checkup.
Well, I guess they didn't check it up very good.
What's the matter with the car? Right, a little out of the phone or something?
Probably.
Are the brakes slipping?
They slipped.
The windshield is...
There's no windshield.
Are the wheels sort of out of line or something?
They're all kind of out of line. As a matter of fact, the whole car sort of curves, you know.
Now, when you and Sid Caesar reunite, who usually initiates the idea?
Sid.
Why Sid?
I don't know. I would be rather embarrassed calling up Sid and say, "Hey, will you work with me?" You know, it just comes from Sid.
Now, what sketches are you going to do at your performances at Michael's Pub?
Well, the ones I think we're going to do will be a sketch in the movies where he is the innocent bystander and. Is in the middle of a terrible argument between a man and a woman. That one we'll probably do. And then we're going to do a pantomime of two people in the percussion section of a large symphony orchestra playing the overture of 1812. And the percussion section is pretty busy in that overture. And, of course, you just see the two of us. You don't see the whole symphony.
You know what I was wondering? When you're doing something like the Innocent Bystander sketch...
Yeah.
Do you remember the sketch completely, or do you both go back and watch 10 from Your Show of Shows to refresh your memory about all the bits in the sketch?
Well, I've been looking at the tape to remind myself of certain bits.
Mm-hmm.
And but hopefully, I found that when we did these three concerts, we would find ourselves adding and doing things that we hadn't done on the tape, something that would come up suddenly while we're playing in front of an audience. And if it seems to work, then we can extend it because we're not watching a clock as you have to do in television, you know? So we find in the sketches new pieces of business.
Now, I think the first TV show that you did was a review in 1949, produced by the same person who produced Your Show of Shows.
Max Liebman. That was the Admiral Review, yes.
Yeah. So when you were on TV in 1949, did you or your family own a television?
No, I didn't own one, but I bought my mother. She was in Philadelphia on Woodland Avenue then, and I bought her a television set on time. And she was the first one on Woodland Avenue with a television set. So all the neighbors came in. I understand the living room was packed with people, and a lot of those ladies had never even seen a show before. So this was a whole new experience for them.
So you couldn't even afford to buy it straight out, huh? You had to buy it on time back then.
Yeah.
So what was your reaction to TV? I mean, most of the people on your mother's block hadn't even owned one, hadn't seen one, and yeah. Here you are, one of the first stars of TV. What did you initially think of the medium?
Well, I thought it was very interesting. It was more like doing a Broadway review. You really... literally forgot about the camera until, of course, if I did a single, a song, or something in one, I would very often work into the camera because it was right in front of me. But we had five cameras stationed in all around the theater so that you did not have to be that aware of camera, and we had no cue cards, no applause things, and no warm-up before the show.
Who did your hair?
Well... I did. Sid always had a monologue or a pantomime that lasted exactly 8 minutes. So I would rush up to the dressing room, stick my head in the sink, wash my hair, put a towel around it, take a brush downstairs, and then we'd do the finale, not in costume, of course. And then we'd sit out in the theater, and Max would give out notes. And while he was doing that, I'd brush my hair dry. And so that's what I did.
Now, your hair, I always thought of your hair as being something of your trademark, in a way. One of your many trademarks.
I think I had more male on my hair than I had on my performance. And I was lucky enough to run into a hairdresser who said to me, "Your hair is awful." And I said, it's terrible. And he said, would you trust me? And I said, of course I will. So he washed my hair, and he cut it. Bangs, and he cut it a certain length, and he said, "Now never have another permanent, and just brush it dry." And little did I know what a lifesaver, because I am not good about fixing my own hair, and I put on the world's worst makeup. I'm not very good about that sort of thing. But this is the easiest thing in the world to do, just brush your hair dry.
So in the days when you were doing your own hair for TV...
Yeah.
Let's describe how your hair looked for people who don't remember. You had a kind of round bangs.
Yeah, round bangs, and then it was down slightly below the ear, and I would brush it dry, and it bounced a lot. When I see the tapes now, I think, oh, boy, that did it bounce, you know. And it was terribly easy to fix. Anybody can do it.
Now, you were from a showbiz family.
Yeah.
What did your parents do?
Well, my father was a third generation of musicians. And when he was very young, he played violin solos with the Philadelphia Symphony and went from there to conducting for vaudeville. And in the summer, he worked for the Schuberts in one of their theaters in Atlantic City. My mother, she went to New York and went in the chorus of burlesque, which was not quite the same kind of burlesque it is today. And all her sisters followed her, and they all married actors with the exception of one. So had I not gone in the theater, they would have thought I was pretty odd.
Was she a stage mother?
She thought she was. I've seen Gypsy now 3 times. Speaking of stage mothers, I love it. But my mother thought she was like the mother in Gypsy. And she would tell her friends, and I went into that agent, and I said to him, she never went into the agents. She sat outside, and while I went in. But my mother liked to think of herself as a much more ferocious kind of mother than she was.
When you were doing TV, you were able to do so many things with your face, you know, in the gestures and the expressions you'd get from your face. Were you doing that on stage when you were starting out too?
I think I was. I think I always have. I think I don't realize I'm doing anything with my face most of the time, and I am conscious now that I use my hands an awful lot,
mm-hmm.
and I think my face is always. I was a pantomimist without knowing it, but I realize now how much I use my face. I was not conscious of it when I first went in the theater or in television. I never thought about it.
What made you conscious of it?
Well, so many people have written about my face. I've been called rubber-faced and flexible-faced, and the face that never stops. So I'm now conscious of it, you know?
After you left your show of shows... You had your own show for a while, the Imogene Coca show.
Yes, it wasn't very good.
What was the problem with it?
Well, you can't do a review in a half hour, and I never speak up. I'm not a very good business person, and I'm not a very strong character. And so I did say, I don't think this is going to work, but I don't think anybody heard me.
Now, how much have you been working recently? Would you describe yourself as semi-retired?
No. No, I haven't. I've not. I don't mean that I've been besieged by offers, because that wouldn't be quite true. But I do get offers. But nothing has come up that is really. Another decision I made is I don't want to do anything that I don't feel is going to be fun, or that you're going to be able to get hold of a part and make something out of it, or that you're offered so much money. That, you know, and none of those things happened, none of the roles, and the money is not that important, really. And nothing came up that I just wanted to take, so I can't say that I didn't get the opportunities. I didn't think they were very good opportunities.
I know on Moonlighting, I guess this was a couple of years ago.
I forgot Moonlighting, yes.
Yeah, on Moonlighting a couple of years ago, you played Miss DePesto's mother.
Yes.
Really a brilliant piece of casting. There's something about the actress who plays Miss DePesto that is really a little reminiscent of you.
Well, that's what they thought, and that was going to be during a period when Sybil Shepherd was not on the show. She was having the babies,
mm-hmm.
and Bruce Willis had a major picture. So made the show primarily about the secretariat and myself. And I was very pleased with that. I was nominated for an Emmy, to my surprise and delight. And it was a great pleasure to do.
Did you see the connection between your face and hers?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Where are you living now? In New York?
In New York City. I've been here for several years. And well, a few years ago, my husband passed away, and I've remained in New York.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure being with you.
Imogene Coca will perform with Sid Caesar at Michael's Pub in New York, beginning April 17th.